of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. I would like to read the scripture again just to remind ourselves, in case you want to, follow the message, go back to our website. The audio version is there for the past 2 weeks, or the YouTube channel for South Street Baptist Church Greenwich, and you'll find the video aspect there too. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 67 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. So I like the last sentence. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. When we say somebody has a zeal, that is, there's so much passion, so much commitment, and so much surety, will make sure that it happens. Anyone who's running London Marathon today, I pray that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will carry you so that you do it. Amen. Amen. So it is in God's interest that we who are children of God will come under his government. And also it is God's will that you and me will increase. You know naturally that when we are born, we're supposed to be increased. Isn't that right? I'll be so disappointed that if I see some of you, let's say one of my friend David here, he's very tall, very big, rubby man, and I'm thinking that supposing he's still holding his feeding bottle and walking around, I don't know how old he is, but he's old. And I'm thinking, old enough to lose his hair, that's okay. Right, I'll be so disappointed if he was still carrying his feeding bottle around and he hasn't increased. So turn to somebody and tell the person that you are born to increase. Make sure you are saying to somebody. Can I hear it one more time? Amen. You are born to increase. So if you are not increasing, you are in trouble. Right. You got to increase in every aspect of your life. If you are a student, you got to increase, excel. If you are working, you have to think about promotion. You got to think about getting more money. If you're in business, think about making profit and expansion. If you're in the church, think about growth. Think about the power of God. Whatever capacity it is. We've learned that when one accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will always come under his government. And two things you must do. You have to obey Christ. And his word should become a guide for you. You got to obey Christ, and his word should become your guide. You come under his government. So if you are not obeying the government that you come under, if the words and the laws and the regulations of that government is not being your guide, then which God are you following? We are United Kingdom. We obey the laws of our parliament, don't we? Hallelujah. And we follow the guidance of our leaders. When they say lockdown, we lockdown. When they say wear masks, we wear masks. When they say take it off, or we have the choice to take it off, we do, don't we? Have a job, you do have a job. That is the reality of things. So when you come under a government, there's got to be somebody at the helm of it telling you that this is the way to go. Walk in it. And for that reason, when you become a Christian, the word of God, literally obeying Christ and the word of God, is the way to go. Amen. Amen. As a result, if you obey Christ and his word, you increase from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. That also means that the kingdom of God should be at hand. What does it mean? The kingdom of God should be now for you. Say now for me. Now for me. Now for me. Now. What do we understand that? The kingdom of God is walking in power, walking in revelation, doing the things that Jesus does, or expecting the things that God wants to bring, that mighty God, that wonderful counselor, that everlasting Father, that Prince of Peace, the things that he wants to order in his government and his peace, there shall be no end, and that should be relevant to you. Amen? So the kingdom of God need to be now. These things need to be now. You got to see the miracles of God. You got to see the power of God. You got to see his peace. You got to see the God of impossibility becoming real for you. You got to see these things in your life. Amen. That is what we mean by the kingdom of God is now. So what the Bible said, the Bible should become a reality for you. And therefore, your life should be a now life. It shouldn't be, I used to. Yes, we can say we used to, but what are you now? Hallelujah. What are you now? You can say, I used to have a massive bank balance, but today I'm in overdraft. That is no good. Hallelujah. That is a used to thing. It's got to be a now thing for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God should be now in your life and not only a historical account of what we read in the Bible, but also to have our own personal experiences of the movement and the moving of the supernatural power of God, evidenced by miracles, evidenced by signs, evidenced by wonders and healings in our lives. That is what the kingdom of God is about. So if you are coming under the government of Jesus Christ, does the word of God mean anything to us? See, I've had many people, even a few days ago, I was talking about, one of the leaders that we have when we were kids, in secondary school, I think year 7 or year 8, and this man has gone to glory, and he was a godly man. They taught us the word of God, but he says those miracles, those healings and other things ended with the apostles. Show me somewhere in the Bible which says so. Hello? Somebody show me in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. That is man's theology. Amen? Maybe his denomination didn't believe in that. Maybe his church didn't teach him that. But we have to come under the government of Jesus Christ, and we have to obey him and his word. Unfortunately, a lot of people come to faith in Christ and become content or contained. You see, when you are content, you don't push for more. When this happens, it is because You willfully, intentionally don't want to invest anymore in your life. You're not praying. You're not evangelizing. You're not actively inviting people to church. You're not even caring and loving people. Sometimes we say, church, you show so much love. We show so much love. But are you loving your neighbor? Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Love your neighbor as yourself. You got to be there to let them know that we are in the end times, and around this time, people are making their way to hell. And one day there will be a judgment, because it says the judgment. You come with judgment upon the earth. He's going to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward. Have you warned them of the impending disaster that is going to come? Have you been God's messenger to warn people that if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and obey the word of God and walk with him, with the Holy Spirit in them, have you warned them that one day death will come to each one of us, and when it comes, there is life after death, and what will you do and where will you go? Have you warned people? Hallelujah. We have to warn people. You see, because our minds and our will has made the decision that we are content, we're not going anywhere. We will only go thus far. We are happy where we are. Do you know a lot of Christians are happy where they are? Just to do the minimum and wear the badge and come to church Sunday after Sunday or serve every now and then and go home? Are you aware that people are quite happy to be saved and do nothing? Probably you still go to heaven, but you go to do something. God wants us to do something. Now, let me tell you a story. I haven't got the time to read the whole passage, but note this one down. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13 is a story that probably you all know. It's the story of the 10 virgins. Now, the Bible said that 10 virgins were invited, right? When we're talking about 10 virgins, we're talking about people who literally are Christians, pure, or people whom the Lord has saved and cleansed and made whole, started a new life. God has invited us to a wedding. And 5 of them took enough oil in their lamp, because they had to prepare themselves for any unexpected occurrence or some lateness. So here we are, 5 virgins did not take enough fuel with them. And then the bridegroom came. When they came, they've run out of fuel. And they look around and went to the other 5 and said, "Please give us some oil." They said, "No, go to the town and look for some." By the time that they went to the town, the bridegroom came and the 5 who were prepared went with them. What have we learned from this? The 5 of them were happy to take just sufficient oil. They were content and lacked vision. So the question for me is, are you content with where you are? Are you lacking vision? Are you looking beyond where you are? Like the other 5 virgins, they were looking beyond the waiting time. But the other 5 allowed the enemy to bring a plan of containment against them. So, who is a person that is contained? Contained. C-O-N-T-A-I-N-E-D. Who is a person who is contained? These people are contained not of their own will. They may be doing something good, something wonderful. They may be serving in a church. They are successful. They are Christians. They are moving on. And somehow, the enemy brings a plan of containment against them. I said, we're talking about 10 virgins here. They were called. They had a vision. They're going to meet the bridegroom. The Bible tells us one day, we will go and meet the bridegroom, right? Oh, you don't even know that. Jesus calls us who are saved, who've given our lives to him, and who sees him as our Lord and our Master and Savior, as the bride, and he's the bridegroom. So he said that one day he's coming for his own. But then you were here, and you're doing something progressive. I don't want to use the progressive. It's being interpreted some differently, especially if you're in America. I know some Americans tune in. You are doing something good. You're prospering. You're moving on. You are getting on in your life. You are serving God. You are your heart and soul to it. But then the enemy knows that you are a threat to him. So because he knows that you are a threat to him, he will bring a plan of containment against you. That means he wants to leave you right there and sometimes break your heart to make you disappointed. He will make you lose your vision and your focus and you do something else. These people are contained. You see, and the 5 virgins, the other ones who did not take enough oil, I don't know what they were doing, waiting. Their focus was taken away. They allowed a situation around them, maybe thinking, oh God, the bridegroom has taken too long in coming. Usually the bride who is late But this time looks like the bridegroom has taken so long in coming. And sometimes the world tells you that, you know what, we've been talking about Jesus is coming for thousands of years and he hasn't come, and therefore forget about it, there is no God. The Bible tells us in the psalm that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. If he says you are a fool, that means you have no focus, you have no vision, you are literally totally scattered. We can't get any good thing from you. You see, so he brings a plan of containment against you and make you content. You become, you love the nice and traditional church and you are not hungry no more. Hallelujah. So, the plan of containment will make you apathetic. These are English words. When you are apathetic, you are unmotivated, you're sitting there. You are content. You don't do anything. You're working, you don't see yourself being promoted. You are happy with that. You become apathetic simply because you have built a business and you employed 5 people and you are happy. And then you go to Tesco, Sainsbury's, they started and nobody took notice of them. Look at them, they're everywhere, aren't they? Yes. The place is being patronized just like the established, businesses. Because they look for growth. They had a vision that they are going to penetrate the market and they're going to take a good share of it. So why aren't you thinking of growth in your business? Why aren't you thinking of also taking a market share? Why are you also thinking of also employing many people? Have you got a plan? Have you got a strategy? Don't be apathetic. This can happen to you in business. If you're apathetic, it can happen to you in your money, in your ministry, in your life. The enemy can bring a plan of containment against you. And those 5 other virgins were very apathetic. And when the time came, they were not ready. They allowed the enemy to hold them back. And in case you want to be a little bit theological, I just want you to understand that the journey that we are in, for us to be one day meet our groom, meaning to meet Jesus Christ, if you no focus, if you allow the enemy to bring a plan of containment against you, you will not make it. Because we didn't hear. When we read, there was nothing for us to know that these other 5 people were able to make it to the wedding. Indeed, the door was closed by the time they came. So if you don't get up and do something, it might be a bit too late for you. Now, I said you become contained and apathetic. Because the enemy has brought a plan of containment against you. When you are doing something for God and you are prospering your life as a believer. Are they in your ministry? Are they in your children? Are they in your marriage? Are they in your finances and your health? The enemy will hit you. That's a plan of containment. Not that you've done anything wrong. You're doing something right. And when the enemy hits you, he hits you to contain you where you are. But this is the time for you and me to discern. Discern, D-I-S-C-E-R-N. Discern at this point. Discern where you are right now. Discern to know that something is working against you somewhere along the line. Discern where you are. You become too laid back for things to happen to you this way. You become too content because you've been invited to the wedding. And therefore you are not thinking, you are not anticipating that something can happen to actually stop you from getting to the marriage feast. You're so concerned, you're so apathetic, you're so happy that you've been invited. You got an invitation card, so you are happy. You're not thinking. I want you to discern at this point where you are or what is happening. And wage war. This is where spiritual warfare is birthed. The moment you see, you discern that what is happening to me, preventing my growth, preventing my prosperity, preventing my increase, preventing my promotion, disturbing my marriage, disturbing my home, disturbing my health, disturbing my community. This is the time for you to know that there's a plan of containment against you, and therefore discern and find out what it is, and God will show you, the Holy Spirit will show you, and begin to birth spiritual warfare. Now, shall we read something in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5? It says that for every warrior's sandals from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel for fire. Somebody will say, but what is that? I'm sure you're asking, aren't you? This is what it is. This chapter, when you start reading, you realize that it was talking about the birth of Jesus Christ coming in. And it was a very powerful prophetic word and prophetic verse telling us what is to come. And what he's saying that somehow along the line, verse 2 of chapter 9 said, for the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. What is he talking about? Somehow along the line, something dark is happening in your house, happening in your family, happening in your job, happening in your health, happening in your ministry, happening in your church, and it's containing you, and you walking in darkness. But Jesus Christ, the prophet, is saying, look, a time will come that if you are sitting in darkness, you have seen a great light. It didn't say you will see a great light. You have seen a great light. That means the kingdom of God is now. Something is going to happen in the now. It's not a future. You got to do something about it right now. Hallelujah. And this verse simply means there's a battle going on. And garments will be rolled in blood. Will be used for burning and for fuel. That means God will give you the victory. God will overthrow the kingdom of darkness because the devil has brought a plan of containment against you, because that you are a child of God doing something for him, because you are a child of God who need to increase and need to move on, just like the Bible tells us, because you are supposed to progress, you're not progressing, and something is hitting you time and time again. Every now and then you see that your health deteriorated, and then you solve it and it comes back again, it comes back again. Hang on a minute. The reason why that is coming back over and over again, not resolved, is that there is a plan of containment against you. Hallelujah. And if there's a plan of containment against you, please, for God's sake, make sure that you are going to hospital to check things up. I believe in medicine. Hear me again. I believe in medical excellence. I believe in all those things. But when it is not resolving it, then what? You sit and wait to die? No, sir, no, ma'am. You got to start to bring warfare in that situation. And this verse is saying, but God will give you victory. God will give you victory if you engage in that warfare. God will give you victory, because it's the enemy that is brought that against you. So are you today content or contained? Is there any hunger in you for more? If not, you're becoming complacent. Is there any hunger in you to remove the containment by the enemy over your life, over your health, over your money, over your promotion, over your marriage? Are you ready? Say that no more. I don't want it no more. Aren't you tired? It gets tiring, isn't it? Now there's always problem in your work. Gets tiring where there's always problem in your marriage. It gets tiring when there's always problem in your home with your kids. It gets so tiring when there's always problem with your health. Don't you get fed up? Are you going to accept it and just die? God has given us the power. We've got to use it. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So are you content of where you are, or you are sitting down to look at your containment, or you are complacent? Let's look at three types of complacency very quickly. Those that are content with the vision. In a church, let's look at it in the context of a church. See, some people are complacent because they are content with the vision. They come through a new life, a new beginning, inner healing and deliverance, Introduction to Leadership, School of Evangelism, Family School, House of Peace, School of Mentors. I've gone through this. And yet, there's no application. I go to House of Peace every Wednesday, but there's no application. Unless you are applying the things that you are being taught in the church, be it in this sanctuary or in the extension in our homes, unless you are applying them in your life, then you are complacent. And those people are the people who are content with a vision. They are not pushing for more anymore. Even in all areas of their lives. The second type of complacency is people who are complacent due to neglect. They are complacent due to neglect. It means you are indifferent. Neither here nor there. You don't care. Even when your house of peace is not growing, you make excuses. When your church is not growing, oh, we are happy where we are. You know what? The disciples were with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. They said, Jesus, let's sit here. Let's build some altars and stay here. You know what he told them? Let's go out there. There's work to be done. And he went, and behold, there was work to be done. We have to. We don't want to be neglect. For instance, when your spouse tells you, you know what, we've been renting all this time. We've been paying £1,000 every month to somebody. Praise the Lord for that somebody who's got that house. But then we should try and buy a house of our own. And you say, no, we like it right here. That's no good, my brother, my sister. That's no good. Buy something so that one day you can also leave it as a legacy for your children. So they will not go through the same, struggle that you went through. Are you with me? I'm not saying that if you haven't bought a house, you're a loser. I haven't said that. All what I'm saying is that begin to think outside the box and do something, to leave something for somebody to make life a little bit easier for the next generation. And if you make it easier for them and you've taught them well, the next generation after them will be even have it much easier. Because God wants us to have enough. God wants us to have in abundance. God wants us to have it in extravagantly. That is what prosperity is all about. You see, because people don't see why they should move on, prosper, move on, increase. They don't see that. Because they are indifferent. They neglect themselves. Some people even neglect themselves. Do you know that? And in this church, when I see that you're neglecting yourself, I will tell you, for God's sake, do something. Hallelujah. Because of coronavirus, we don't visit many homes. Otherwise, some of you, I would tell them, hey, come on, put some paint in your house. Because it's got to look good. And if somebody said don't, the very person who said they don't, you go and look at their house. And they're looking so good. And they say don't. You know why? Because they want you to be in that place so that you can always look up to them. But the Bible says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. You are under the government of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God is increasing, so you ought to be increasing. You cannot stay where you are all the time. Amen? Amen. Are you learning something?
Yes.
The third type of complacency is this. It's the type of complacency that erases warfare. Let me explain that. This is a strategy of the enemy to contain you. Because it makes you think that, don't believe that warfare. I mean, South Street Baptist, they're always talking about warfare. I didn't invent that word, did I? Jesus Christ himself said about it. The prophets talked about it. God himself talked about it. Even our military people talk about it. So, it's in the Bible. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that you come against these things. Jesus Christ talked about these things. He even quoted John the Baptist time to talk about them. So when you get to the point that you don't believe in warfare, that there is something spiritual that can hold you back, you are contained and you are complacent. Do you understand that? When you come to the point that you don't believe it, you are contained and you are complacent. I mean, nobody can convince me that these things don't exist, because not only have I read it, but I have experienced it in this church, and some of you or most of you have experienced this in this church. Haven't you? You have seen the victory of our Lord. You have seen the power of God being demonstrated over the work of the enemy. Not only once, many times. You have seen God do amazing things. And you tell me that there is no spiritual warfare. Christians are great to talk about that. But remember, we have to raise a warfare here, because the kingdom of God is always in expansion mode. The kingdom of God is always in expansion mode. That is why the prophet Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So what shall we do when we find ourselves content or contained, so that we will increase under the government of Jesus Christ? What shall we do? One, you have to change our thinking and to, if our thinking from mediocrity into expansion mode. Hallelujah. Change your thinking from being a loser to a winner. You think those, elite athletes haven't trained this well? You think they just came to train to lose? No. They came to train to win. And all those who are running, you think they are running for fun? They're running to raise money to bless somebody. Isn't that true? Yes. Hello? Ramwell, educate me. Do you pay money to register? London Marathon? Look at that. You have to even pay money to register. So you think you want to lose your deposit? Are you a politician? You don't want to lose your deposit. So you got to raise some money. Yes. I'll call Ramwell because he's run London Marathon before, you see. Adoyemi is going to run next year, he said. Well, you told me this morning, India, don't you hear me? Thank you. God bless you. I will see it. I think this is when my faith needs to rise higher and higher. Change our thinking into expansion mode. You have to change from maintenance mode to expansion mode. If you are content with 100 people in your church, you will never reach 1,000. Do you understand that? If you are content to see half of your church at home, you never see the increase. Sometimes I go to some place and the first thing they ask is, how many people are in your church? I'm thinking, oh, numbers actually matter to you. Isn't that right? So why are you telling me that, oh, the numbers doesn't matter? That's what they tell me. Numbers doesn't matter. But the next thing they said, how many people are in your church? Numbers matters. Isn't it?
Yes.
Because Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. How did they know? Somebody counted. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. How did they know? Somebody counted. So numbers matters, isn't it? Because many people are going to hell and you're sitting down, you're happy with 35. Many churches are not growing, put it this way. Simply because people are content. Number two, we must be determined to change our mentality. Simply because the church must always be in expansion mode. Change our mindset. Expand the vision and embrace evangelism as a local church. Because a plan of containment will never move until you are fed up with it. You see, when an enemy brings a plan of containment against you, it will never change until you are fed up with it. Say, fed up with it. Those of you who knew Popeye, the sailor, he got to a point and said, look, I think he doesn't use the word fed up, but literally to the extent that, look, I've seen this all over again. I'm fed up. I don't want that no more. So he drink his starch and he get his strength, right? Or maybe I'm too old. Spinach, my apologies. Spinach. Different from starch. Oh my goodness, what am I saying? He drink his spinach and his muscles come up. Yeah, am I the only old man here? Popeye, they said, and Popeye really can do everything after that. Because he get up, fed up, he gets fed up. And say, I'm fed up with this. I'm not having it no more. He drink his spinach, and then this time Popeye is so strong that he destroy everything. Get that image in your eyes. In case you don't know, go to YouTube and type Popeye the Sailor. And then watch a few of the clips to remind you what I'm trying to communicate to you. It seems, number three, we must become violent righteously. A violent person in the spirit is what I mean. In Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said this, hear it. He said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. From the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That means even from John the Baptist's ministry started a supernatural ministry, because John the Baptist came and he started, literally preaching and telling him, get baptized, get freed from your sins, and you will see the kingdom of God come in a powerful way. He came to pave the way for the supernatural ministry of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, he also said, the kingdom of God is now. It's at hand. And we saw the miracles, we saw the signs, we saw the demons being cast out, we saw everything. So all this time, when you start doing these things, you'll be contained. The enemy will bring the plan of containment against you. The plan of the containment against you is to stop you from increasing. And unless you are spiritually violent to take the kingdom by force, you will be contained. Do you get that? Hello? I'm not teaching anything strange, you know. I'm teaching you scripture. And these days I teach from my experience, because all these things I've known for a long, long time, but it's making sense because I see it. Finally, we must declare and decree. How do we get out of containment? Declare and decree. God has made us kings and priests, a kingdom of priests. That is our function. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 5-8. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it goes on, and said, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierce him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So you can see every now and then he says, amen. That means let it be. Let it be. Sure, for surety, take note. You see, he's saying this, that he is the one who is risen from the dead and therefore gives you and me a living hope that one day when we die, we will also rise up with him. He is the one who is the ruler of the kings of this earth. That means he's bigger and mightier than all of them. Hallelujah. And he has loved us and washed us with his precious blood. Talking to us about us Christians. And he has made us kings and priests unto God. I was sharing last Friday that if you're a king, you have rulership, you have authority, you have oversight, and you say things and people have to obey, right? He has made us kings and priests, priest intercession. You got to intercede for your house, for yourself, and for your environment, your community. He has made us priests unto our God. To him be glory and dominion. But you see, sometimes people don't seem to get this. Why? I don't know. But then I am sure that you all agree with me, verse 7, that behold, he is coming with the clouds. Do you believe that? Hello? Only these people believe it. Do you believe that? We all believe that. Almost every Christian believes that Jesus Christ is coming with the clouds. And I've also heard many people. And he said that, look, and even those who pierced him, it doesn't mean that the people who pierced him 2,000 years plus back away, people who are still piercing the Lord are those who don't believe and speak against Jesus. They reject him. They speak against the faith. They speak against your belief. They challenge your belief. They challenge. They want to change the scripture for you. They are piercing the Christ. Do you get that? They are piercing the Christ. And if you're sitting here and you're a believer and also not living right, you are piercing the Christ. That means you're crucifying him again. And said the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. When he appeared, they would think, oh dear, why didn't we accept him? Because by the time that he appears in the sky, there'll be no more Holy Spirit. So it will be so difficult for you to become a Christian. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to become a Christian. It's him who convicts us of sin. And if he's not here, it will be so, so difficult for you to become a Christian. And at that time, people think, oh dear, why didn't we do something? And in case this is, I mean, this is so far-fetched for you. Think back, 22nd of March, 2020. Think about those months. Do you know how people were really searching for Christ? There were so many searches about Christianity and Christ and what we believe. According to the news media, according to other reports. Because at that time people were thinking, oh dear, I'm going to die from a virus I can't see. It's killing people fast. What do I have to do? Science was still trying to find out what the solution is. So what do I have to do? They were looking for answers. And that time people would say, oh dear. That's what Jesus called it. There will be gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. Deep, deep regret that they did not hold on to this Jesus while he has it. We believe that, don't we? And we also know that he's the Alpha and Omega. We all say, Christians say this all the time. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the one who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty. Amen. Jesus is establishing his credentials that he is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And if you notice, it actually said, I'm the one who is. So Jesus is the now Jesus for us. He shouldn't be Jesus of yesterday. And he was, and he is to come, the Almighty. We believe that. If we believe it, then we have been made priests and kings to our world, of our God, isn't it? If he said this and he says, I'm Almighty, then his miracles haven't ended. Because he never said it has ended. Sometimes my Jehovah's Witness friends will tell me, look, but the Bible says in, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that oh, tongues shall cease. I said, of course tongues shall cease. Why not? Because we have tongues. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 said, anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but speaks to God. Romans 8:26-27 says that now our spirit searches our hearts and searches the heart of God and communicates so that we can pray right. Now we come to Revelation chapter 21 and said, look, we shall see God face to face. So why do we need to speak in tongues when we see Jesus Christ? He said, we shall understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Why do we speak in a language which is unknown? Why do we need miracles? Because it said, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more dying. There will be no more tears. All these things that bother us will be no more. So the things that we do here on this earth, we will not do them. Because we see God face to face. Because God is supernatural. Now you see him and you know that God, wow, all these things that was happening, now I know it is so real. That is why I believe so strongly that whilst we live here on this earth as Christians, we have to teach the whole counsel of God, and the Bible should be relevant to us in every situation. Because what we believe will define our God in our own eyes. And that will in turn define who we become in our worship, in our ministry. That is important. So to conclude, I would say this, that whether you are complacent, whether you are content, or the enemy has brought a plan of containment against you, you have to take things back. Say this, take things back. One more, take things back with spiritual violence. Take your business back. Take your children back. Take your money back. Take your marriage back. Take your health back. Take your job back. Take your failures, out of the way, and grab your victories back. Take all these things back, because we have to take things back in the name of Jesus. We are no more going to be contained. I am not going to be content. Because of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Hallelujah, Lord. You have to be prepared to take your territory back. You got to be prepared to plan every and cancel every plan of containment against you, against your family, against your business, against your health. Plan of containment, be ready to cancel it in Jesus' name. Sometimes I see some people, they come and say, I hear you talk big. What is the secret? I said, there's no secret. The secret is in the Bible. Why was Jesus talking big? Because the Spirit of God is upon him. And for some of you, have seen me here for 20 years. Some even longer. You see me grow in this church. And today I'm standing here. I'm saying the very things that I say and doing the things that I see. Something has changed. God has become so real to me. And this is what I'm recommending to you. Because I'm not prepared to have a form of religion and deny the power thereof. I'm not prepared to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. If you're a Christian today, I'm challenging you right now and also encouraging you right now. If you're here and you know there's a plan of containment against you, you're not moving on. You are doing everything right, but something is not going right for you. I want you to just come out and stand here, and we want to pray for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do nothing to you. I have only 10 minutes to do this. There's a plan of containment against you. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what it is. Hallelujah, Lord. Something is not going right with you. Something is not going on for you. There's a plan of containment. You are a Christian. You love God. Please take that step and be quick. It can be your health. It can be your marriage. It can be your job. It can be your business. It can be your children. Something is containing you, preventing you from moving on. God bless you. God bless you. Be quick. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Today we are going to break every plan of containment that the enemy has brought upon your life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, God bless you. Now, should I have some of my faithful watchmen to be around? And the warriors, please be around to pray for them. Make sure you got your mask on. I want you to be praying for them in Jesus' name. And I want you to believe God. If you yourself are contained, don't pray for anybody. Pray for yourself to be free. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I want you to pray for people right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Should I get more people to come and pray? Come on. Service leaders, where are you? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Watchmen, where are you? Come and pray for people. And if you are there and you are not courageous enough to take that step, pray for yourself. God has made you priest unto God. That means that He's given you the power to declare and to decree. To declare means that you are prepared to say things. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah, Lord. Please pray for them and believe God. Cover them up in prayers for me, please. Pray, 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 pray with authority. Kings exercise authority. Break, break, break that plan of containment over their lives. Kings exercise authority. Break that plan of containment, be it health issues, be it job, be it money issue, be it marriage, be it their children, be it their career, their education. Break it, break it. Declare, declare, declare. Make bold declaration. God is able to do that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Please pray, pray, pray. In Jesus' name. We have 4 more minutes to pray, please. In Jesus' name, believe this God. You have seen God do so many things. You have seen God do a miracle. You have seen God break certain things in people's lives. Pray simple prayers by breakthrough. Pray simple prayers by breakthrough. Break whatever issue. Whatever issue. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Shanderebe boshiane. Eanderebe brosha kataya. Eanderebe busa katori anderebe brobosoya. Eanderebe brosha katoko tori andeya. Eanderebe broshtik. Eanderebe brobosoya. Yenderebe brosha katori anderebe prostiki. Yenderebe broshe kenderebe probosui. In the name of Jesus. 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 Shanderebe boshakaya. Father, we break through, we break through, we break through. In the name of Jesus. Father, breakthrough right now. Every issue that is brought before you. Father, issue that is brought before you. Even issue of blood. Father God, I pray and I break through that. In Jesus' name. I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep on praying for them.
Communion in the Holy of Holies. I want to be, I want to be one with you in fellowship and communion in the Holy of Holies. Sing, I want to be.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be one with you in fellowship and communion. Yeah. In the Holy of Holies.
Hallelujah.